back from break here, and we have Greg out of, or George out of Florida on the line. Go ahead, George.
Thank you, Ralph.
Hi there.
Yeah, I went to spend a couple days in Tombstone, Arizona. You ever been down there? You ever
Tombstone?
You ever heard about the Yerps?
Oh, yes.
Well, and the thing is, it's more like what Hollywood portrays about the Yerps, and what really happened is two different things. And from what I heard from the locals about Wyatt Earp, I picked up a flyer that talked about Wyatt Earp arresting unattended and unruly children and selling them as slaves. This was in 1881. I thought the amendment to abolish slavery passed. And when he left town, he had warrants issued by the Cochise County Sheriff because and one of the counts was slavery, because slavery was illegal, and he was selling kids to go work in the mines in Tombstone, Arizona. And that was
this is why Wyatt Earp was doing this?
Yep.
Oh, really?
Yep, this is what the locals told me down
there. And how was that put out as evidence? Who's where's the source of the facts on this?
Well, this came from the locals in Tombstone.
Local what?
The local people in Tombstone. And that the Clantons weren't really cattle rustlers. That when the Earps went to go get their guns, surrendered their guns to the Earps, that's when the gunfight at the OK Corral happened. There was a lot of stuff they told me that Hollywood don't tell you.
Well, that may or may not be true. The thing is, we want to be real careful when we, you know, there's a lot of stories running around out there, and you always got to check these things out because we just never know.
Well, I'm still digging for it. And it's even like like with Greg's case, you know, the thing is, like, when I was listening on another show, they had a gentleman, an attorney named Jim Wagner, whatever, and he was talking about, like, we want to take our system back. We've got to take back the courts. And that means showing no respect to these judges who don't honor their oath.
Well, we have a slight problem there, George. Because
what's
the courts that they set up are not, they have nothing to do with the Constitution of the United States. They have nothing to do with the several states.
They're admiralty equity courts.
I've got this book that I'm going to be making available. I'll be putting it out here as soon as I decide what fee I want to charge for a donation, but you have to have the 1940 code, and I think I'll probably be putting the 26 and maybe even the revised statutes all together in a package to conclusively prove. They just took our Constitutional Republic and put it in the back. They put it in a closet, closed the door, and created a whole new administrative state court system. Lock, stock, and barrel.
Because
astounding, isn't it?
Yes, because I was pretty much like I was talking to somebody else. She had her kids taken away, and I told her, I said, pretty soon, I said, you might have to have the angry mob outside the courtroom and inside the courtroom to sort of like get to give them a really bad day.
Uh-huh.
I mean, because you know the way it's coming, they get, like Pinellas County. Greg was sitting there telling me. They're short on money. They might be grabbing more kids just to make up that budget shortfall. And Greg, I gave him a copy of the 2006 Pinellas County Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. You'll see how much money they're really making.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you heard of those?
Oh, yes. Yes, for cappers, absolutely. It's they're hard to track because what they do is the ones I've looked at in Alaska, they pass money back and forth amongst each other to make it very, very difficult so that you can't really track what's going on there.
Well, there's just one thing I do have to say about I got offended online because I actually made the saying, if you stay neutral to the injustices of your neighbor, that you chose the side of the oppressor, which is basically true. I mean, if you take a blind eye and, you know, you see somebody's kids taken away and they keep getting taken away and you take care of a blind eye, you just signed on with the oppressor.
I got a question to ask you, but hold on. We got a break coming up, and we'll be back in a minute. We got George out of Florida, and then we're going to talk about office and legal duty. So stay tuned, and we'll be back in a minute.
I've found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar power generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073. Or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Hi, this is Ralph Kermit, Winter Road II, the Ralph Winter Road Show, coming out of Alaska through Seeker of the Far North. You still there, George?
Yeah.
Have you been involved with Greg Pound down in any of the stuff that's going on down there with him?
Yes, I helped him buy his fax machine.
Great.
Yes. I got one more question. In Florida, How would you go about convening a grand jury in Pinellas County?
How would I go about convening a grand jury?
Yeah. How would we call a grand jury? A citizen can call a grand jury.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, I don't think I'd want to stick my neck out right now because I know an awful lot about that, but I'm doing some research in that little corner of the world, and I can tell you right now, we have a right to give information into the grand jury. The problem that we are running into today is just like with the IRS, is the probable cause of somebody that comes an oath giving some sort of evidence. They don't do those anymore. They're called a preliminary examination, which is an adversarial hearing, which is supposed to be created legislatively. Now, I had a retired judge tell me what they did, and that's what they've done. They moved our probable cause into a rule of court because they're equity and admiralty courts. But there's supposed to be a hearing where you could go into, and you could actually even find this yet in the criminal rules of the federal side, I think it's Criminal Rule 3, you can take a complaint into a judge and say, look, hey, I want to go under oath here, and I have a criminal complaint. I have a complaint against somebody, and I want to have a summons issued to bring this party forward and see if there's probable cause of a crime. They don't want to hear this. Absolutely. They do not want to go there.
Can Greg Pound do that? With
pardon?
The judge and with the DCF workers and everybody involved?
Well, see, the problem that we have, and I'm going to be talking about this as soon as we go here, they have no office. And what that means is, if you and I, this is the maximum under the law of nature, nature's God. If our inalienable rights come from the Creator, and if, as our constitutional republic clearly states, we have a limited delegation of power to these people that are over us in a government, the question always becomes, by what authority are you authorized and empowered over my life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? That means there must be a written delegation by and through the Constitution or by the legislature creating an office of your powers and duties. The office is more important than the oath of office, because the first problem is, where did I grant to you the power over me? If I'm the sovereign, which they tell us we are, and we are, where did I grant you the authority? Well, the problem that we run into with all of these, quote, agency folks, they have no office. They're flunkies. They're paid goons, jackbooted thugs. They're out there for the money. If they don't remain jackbooted thugs, they lose their job.
And
we can't fire them because they have no office. They're an agency. An agency always requires a two-party relationship. Attorney-client is one. Employee-employer is another one. Master-slave is another. Agency. They're all agencies. Then the question becomes, agent of who? If you were the government, you are not an agency. And that's one of the most basic elements, is the office that is created, and the office can only be created in two places. Either by the Constitution, which is our contract. That's the contract of the people, given our limited delegation of power. It's our contract. And it says either your office must be created by the Constitution, or the legislature or Congress must create the office, which is the powers and duties. What can you and can you not do? And it's not something you can delegate. And that's the problem that we have. There is none of these people have an office. There's no connection, and that's the problem, because we are an overthrown country, and these people are nothing more than mercenaries. They're working for money, and we can't fire them. Just like down there in Greg's case, all of these people, how do you fire them? Because you can't. They don't work for us. They have no office. They're all flunkies. There's an employee. And employees are mere ministerial duties. They're doing what they're told to do. They have no office.
Well,
and the only way they gain status is when we enter the land of Oz and take on this fictitious status called a citizen of the United States. It's everywhere. I've tracked it back on every one of them. And until we get our birthright back, and you're in the land of Oz, and they're the script writers, they can do with us. They give us the perception that there's a Constitution, our inalienable rights are there, but they won't talk about it.
I got one more question. You saw I brought it up. It's like with gun registration. If they say you're required to register your guns, does that mean you're registered? That means the state is part owner of your gun, and that's where they get the thing where they can go confiscate them?
As soon as you enter the area of registration, you've entered the administrative state, because they want to keep track. There is no authority amongst the several states, as a citizen of one of the several states, for you to have to tell them you have a weapon. Doesn't exist. It's only if you go look at all of this stuff. I mean, every one of them, it's like the Real ID Act. You go look at the Real ID Act. Let me even give you a better example. You go look at the Judiciary Act of 1789. This is when Congress set up our Constitutional Republic and the courts for the government of the United States. Do you know what's missing in there? There are no definitions. United States means, citizen means, state means. There's no definitions, because they were legislating for a constitutional republic. You cannot read any of these, quote, statutory nonsense stuff, because they have to redefine it and trick us. They have to define the United States as geographical. It's just it's like an airplane flying over there. It's just the outside boundaries. There is no land ceded where they have jurisdiction and needful buildings and all that, where they have power. And they always, without exception, they either define state or United States. They have to. They always, without exception, will either have the Social Security, which means you're a citizen of the United States, or they'll define citizen of the United States. It's right in the real ID Act. And I don't know what it's going to take, because just like the real ID Act, the question is that it's a simple sentence. This act, the real ID Act, has no application to the citizens of the several states domiciled in the several states. That's it. Just one sentence, and the whole bunch of baloney is all nonsense. Absolutely has no forced effect of law.
It was just like you say, going administrative, where they talk about with the farmers signing up their cattle, get this NIS, get their cattle chip. They said this premise means once you sign that paper, you don't own your property no more. It's property of the federal government, your cattle, land.
We don't own anything in reality. When you register your, quote, automobile, your motor vehicle, you become a debtor and the state becomes a secured party and they're collateralizing it. It's every state, every one of these corporate states, every one of them without exception has that in the UCC.
Okay, Ralph, I'm going to sign off now.
Okay, well, take care, and I'm going to go ahead and talk about the office and stuff and... help Greg all you can, because I'll tell you what, we're not done down there yet in Florida.
Well, I think he's getting ready to put a hurting on him.
Well, we are. We've got several more things to do here yet. We've just begun to fight.
All right, Godspeed.
Okay, take care. Well, I'm going to talk, he brought that up, and I'm going to talk a little bit here today about one of the more important things in the oath of office is the thing called the office. And what is the office? You can think of it as if you were building a house and you were hiring a carpenter and you were hiring an electrician and a plumber, would you not say, this is what I want you to do? You're creating an office. The plumber, you can do this, this, and this, and I want to see your credentials. You're not going to have him out there pounding nails or trying to put a roof on. He's a plumber. When we have a constitutional republic, each and every party that affects our life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness must have the paperwork to where he can prove that I have delegated this power by and through a constitution or by and through an office being created by the legislature or Congress. And probably the best case that I have found that articulates it, out of all the cases that I have looked at, this case here is Scully, S-C-U-L-L-Y, versus United States, and it's 193F-185, and it's on page 187. It's a 1910 case, but it is based upon other decisions of the Supreme Court of the United States. There are quite a few other Supreme Court cases, but it articulates it fairly succinctly. Now, what people do not understand, and I'll be honest, it took me a while. I read a lot of cases trying to get to the truth, and it's amazing when you finally can see this. Myers versus United States is a really long case in the 1920s, and I read that case a couple times, trying to understand it, and then when the little light bulb finally comes on, it's such a simple concept. And the concept is, this is an Article 2, Clause 2, Section 2. Article 2, Clause 2, Section 2, and the little words, that's the problem with the Constitution of the United States, is it's written so succinctly that we tend to bypass it. And this is the key phrase, because there are officers of the United States appointed by and with the consent of Congress. And then they're up. I hear the music, so stay tuned, and I will come back with six little words. It's amazing what these words can do in the Constitution or when they're written by people that understand what's going on. So stay tuned, and we'll be back in a minute.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Well, we're back, and we're going to continue on here about these six little words in the Constitution of the United States. Now, you go to Article 2, Clause 2. And it talks about two different types of officers. There are the officers of the United States that are created by and with the consent of Congress. And those are the ones that we tend to think about today. Of course, they don't have the real office. And then they are mere employees because they have a Form 61. But also in Article 2, Clause 2, it talks about all other officers of the United States whose appointments are not herein otherwise provided for and which shall be established by law. There's the killer, which shall be established by law. Why is it important that they have an office? The reason being why, if we are the sovereigns and these people have authority that we are granting over them, we want to establish the powers and duties, the limits of what they can do and what they can't do. That's the purpose of the office, so that everybody knows what they can do and what they can't do. Now, to enter the office, they must be a public officer or an inferior or officer of the United States on the federal side. And to enter it, they could only get there two ways. Certificate of election from the people, or they can get there by what's called a civil commission, where somebody is authorized and empowered to appoint them. But the appointment, evidence of the appointment, is the signature. That's Marbury versus Madison, happened in 1803. So unless they have a civil commission, which is evidence of the signature, because we have to have the evidence. We have to have conclusive and legal evidence that the party that was empowered did appoint them. Or they have to have a certificate of election from the people of the several states, not from people that are citizens of the United States. That's an absolute, absolute patent lie. Now, what this case goes on to say, it's Scully versus United States, 193 Fed 185. This is the most conclusively stated case that I've found to date, based on decisions of the Supreme Court of the United States. And I'm going to read out of this. Inferior officers which shall be established by law. I'm going to stop right there. Established by law. What's by law? By law is by Congress or by the legislature. I'm going to continue on. So inferior officers which shall be established by law, whose appointment Congress may vest in the president alone, in courts of law, or in the heads of departments. So Congress can establish the powers and duties. And then there's the option either it can be done with Congress involved, as it is with officers of the United States. The president said, I would like to appoint this party, and Congress says yay or nay. Or Congress can just establish the powers and duties of the office and then said, okay, El Presidente, you can appoint. And we're not going to be involved. Or the courts, somebody in the court, judges can appoint clerks or whatever they want, or the heads of department. The heads of departments have to be appointed by and with the consent, but they can have other people, the inferior officers. So there's two ways. The president says, yes, I want to appoint somebody and by and with the consent of Congress, but there's got to be an office created prior to that by Congress with powers and duties. Or there's the inferior officers, and Congress says, yeah, we're going to make the powers and duties. Here's what these inferior officers can and cannot do. And then if we don't say who's going to do it, then the president or the courts of law or the heads of the department can fill those offices. That's the only way they can get there. Now it says, I'm going to read farther, when Congress creates an office, whether it be inferior or not, and omits to specify how the incumbent is to be appointed, is one of that class designated in the Constitution as, quote, all other officers of the United States whose appointments are not herein otherwise provided for, end quote. And in such cases, the appointment must be made by the president by and with the consent of the Senate. Continuing on, there can be no offices of the United States, strictly speaking, except those which are created by the Constitution itself or by an act of Congress, and when Congress does so establish an inferior office. Further on, it says, if not so appointed, he may be an employee, a contractor, an agent, or a servant working for the government and entitled to a salary, fees, wages, or other compensation, but he is not, strictly speaking, one of its officers. Congress must also have created the office unless it is one created by the Constitution itself, and they cite all kinds of decisions by the Supreme Court of the United States. And herein lies the problem in our country. We have hordes of these agencies that have no office. None of them, without exception. The police have no office. They work for a corporation. They're the hired guns, the mercenaries. They're paramilitary. Well, I hear the music, and we'll be back in a minute with more of the truth from the North.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
We're back. This is Ralph Kermit Winterroad in Alaska with the Ralph Winterroad Show, and we talked about child custody earlier and talking about the importance of the office of these hordes of agencies. They're like the plague. That's what's so astounding, is these people do not work for us. They are not accountable to us. They have no office. And it's a simple chain. We have inalienable rights that the Creator, it's under the law of nature, and nature's God. That's in every man, woman, child in this country. It's not actually on the earth, but in this country is what we're talking about. And if that is true, they're inalienable, then we, as the sovereigns in our country, have a limited delegation of power by and through a contract called the Constitution. And it's the Constitution of the land. Constitution of New York, not the Constitution of the State of New York. Law of the land, you have to keep attached to terra firma so we don't end up in admiralty and commerce or equity out here in contract world. We have a Constitution of New York. The only people that can access that Constitution, that contract, are called the citizens of New York. They have to be domiciled. They have to be attached to that one place in the whole United States to access the contract. The only people that can execute on that contract are the public officers of the state of New York. After they have an office created with powers and duties, after they get elected either by a certificate of election or a civil commission, somebody under their signature that authorizes them to enter the office, they must therefore, before they can fill the office, they must take an oath of office as a public officer. Not just an oath of office. We have all kinds of oaths of offices. I can take an oath of office, but I have no office. Who the hell cares? We have oaths of offices for judges in Alaska. They got two different ones for the different levels, and neither one of them can match up to the 41 little words in our fascist constitution called the Constitution of the State of Alaska. They can't even get 41 little words right because they can't. We don't check. So they must have the oath of office on file. That's under Article 6 of the Constitution of the United States, and it's in 1 Stat 23, the very first act of Congress, and it's got to be in a public record by somebody authorized to give them the oath. And then to make sure that we keep these people honest, which is, we've got such a dishonest, the FBI is up in Alaska now trying to root out some of the criminals, and of course if they actually got started, we wouldn't have probably anybody in Juneau other than maybe the governor. About everybody down there, we'd be cleaning out Juneau. And our Ted Stevens and Lisa Murkowski and Representative Young, our three corporate delegate folks, they'd be gone too. But to keep these people honest, they said, well, I don't know. We're going to have to elect better people to keep them honest. They're all criminals because they're stealing other people's money. The reason why is they don't work for us. Like in Alaska, because we have no counties, we have no sheriffs, there still is a bond supposed to be published or posted by the public safety commissioner for the state troopers. There is no bond. I'm going to be filing on that because in 15 days his office is vacant, and I happen to actually have a case that I can do that. Sitting in the United States District Court, it took me 5 years to get it there. But that's how you keep people honest. It's a performance bond. It's called an official bond. The person must put up two sureties of their own personal assets. Not the government's. They're not the government's, not this occupying army's assets. Their assets. That's how you keep people honest. And it's a bond. And as soon as something happens, you attach to that bond and say, you didn't perform according to the powers and duties. And you got malfeasance, misfeasance, nonfeasance. You did something or you didn't do something, and I can attach your bond because you did not perform. This is how a constitutional republic works. Do you know how many official bonds there are in Alaska? None. Do you have any oaths of office as a public officer of any of the several states? None. Do you know how many inferior officers of the United States we have in Alaska? None. You know how many officers of the United States, like judges? None. There's nobody home. We have a republic and nobody's there. The federal side, in 1948, I have conclusive and legal evidence as a public document. And I'm going to be making it available for those that want knowledge and the wisdom on how to use it. But this is the office. It must, if you're in charge or we're in charge, who in his right mind would give a full power of attorney to a politician? You'd have to be crazy. You'd have to absolutely be stark, raving, mad, crazy to do it. And we've all done it. That's what's even more astounding. I did it without knowledge. As I gained knowledge and the wisdom on how to use this, I said, no, we're not playing this game anymore. That's the problem with all these courts. The first challenge of anything with these, quote, United States District Court, they have no venue because they don't live on the land, folks. They just made it up. They combine a territorial court, which is an Article 1 or Article 4 court, where Congress can, at will, just make up courts or take them away. Article 3 courts deal with our constitutionally secured rights of our inalienable rights. And they can't do administrative law in there. You can't combine the courts, not within the several states. 1948, they up and did it. And Westlaw was involved with it. West and the attorneys, all kinds of judges, all kinds of senators. They just had a merry old time. And the reason why it's important, 1948, because it was all prima facie. So in 1948, they supposedly made a positive law. The actual act says law. And the reason when they did that, they said, then you can't go back to any statutes at large. If it's in the code of 1948, there's no looking back. It's over, folks. Well, guess what? It's not. Because somebody that does acts of treason has no constitutional delegated authority, no authority from us, cannot enslave us. But, of course, we've got to be smart enough to figure out why and how they did it. And then, just like in this case, it was just like unbelievable. I mean, just like in Greg Pounds, you can steal children, and there's no trial by jury. And you can't even testify to the facts. It's beyond belief. It's just beyond belief. It's just like, in 2 years up here, I got around that 84 traffic citation. They just pounded me into the pavement. Called me out to jail. Take money. Drop charges. It was a good experience, though. I don't regret one bit of it. Because I tried everything in the world. And the only way to figure out what's going on is you just get in there and you do battle. And then every time you get your butt kicked, you turn around and figure out what happened. Why did I lose this? Well, of course, we know that even when you have the truth, you may end up losing. But the only way you're going to get experience is like a football player. You got to get on the field and get out there and go at it. You don't get anywhere by sitting on the sidelines and letting somebody else fight your battles. there's a lot of people, unfortunately, can't fight. So that's why we need the people that can't fight for various reasons, family or whatever reasons, need to support, like Republic Broadcasting Radio, or get on my email list. I have a donation list to support the people that are willing to fight. I am not going to surrender. Not going to happen. Finally got to the bottom, starting to get to the real bottom with conclusive legal evidence, and now we're going to do some, just like in Greg Pounds, one of the things we're going to start doing in Alaska, we're going to start filing writs of quo warranto, by the way, and they're only $5. Common law writ, $5 in the federal courts. And we're going to demand a court, a district court of the United States with real officers of the United States, and where's your paperwork? No money, no anything. And if you don't have the paperwork, what are you doing on my ship? Get out of my country. Get out of my courtroom. I'm the guy in charge here. We're taking it back. The other part that's really important about this, and it's so little understood, is this word called legal duty. And typically, legal duty usually does not involve necessarily something to do with the government, per se. Usually it's by contract law, public policy type stuff. It is not usually a law of the United States or a law of one of the several states. Here is the accepted definition of legal duty. And I'm going to be putting this out on my list here. I'm going to probably read it today. And it's a real short statement, and I've looked up probably every case that's ever cited it. It was by Wharton. He's a guy that did a lot of, W-H-A-R-T-O-N, did all sorts of things on legal evidence and what it takes to hearsay evidence and that. It's a very well-known source of legal thought. This is the definition that's used and is supported in just tons of cases. And any lawyer, all lawyers know about this because you cannot have a tort case. Can't have a being sued without establishing the legal duty. It's all contract law, insurance policies, everything is the legal duty. And here is the definition that is used for legal duty. It's used in cheat case in the IRS. There's got to be a legal duty. And by the way, the legal duty is a question of law because it's a contract. It's a either in the Constitution or by a statute or it's by contract law. The legal duty is a question of law. It is not a question of fact for the jury, which they put before the jury in the IRS cases all the time. A legal duty, this is what it is. A legal, and I'm reading a quote. A legal duty is that which the law requires to be done or forborne to a determinate person. Forborne, forbidden, to a determinate person. But, of course, what is a determinate person? And that is that which is ascertained, that which is particularly designated. Somebody who, it's got to be some particular party to a contract, somebody that we can figure out. So it's a legal duty, is that which the law requires to be done or forborne to a determinate person or to the public at large. And, here's the next part, is correlative to a right vested in such determinate person or in the public at large. Well, what's this? And is correlative to a right vested. What is the word correlative? Having a mutual or reciprocal relationship. It's such as a father and son are correlative as a claim and duty. And the existence of one necessarily implies the existence of another. So what's that mean here? And is correlative to a right vested in such determinate person. That's where they get us. We have these benefits to a rights vested in us as a citizen of the United States or in the public at large. That is the legal duty. And the problem that they don't want to disclose to us. Let's just take Greg's Pound case. Where is the legal duty that these people can come in and take your children? Well, it's all hidden because they presume that he's a citizen of the United States. He's got a Social Security number. They always want to give you one, and it's all presumed. There's a right that because of child custody, all of these different issues, it's all presumed there's a legal duty. That's why you always hear this, the state has an interest. I always wondered, the government has an interest. And I said, how does the government or the state get an interest in my kids or in my property? This is how they've accomplished it. This is the thing that you must demand when you deal with the IRS, you deal with the cops, you deal with the traffic. Where's the legal duty for me to buy a tag? Where's the legal duty to have a driver's license? Where is it? Where are you authorized and empowered over my life, liberty, and in the pursuit of happiness? Where's the legal duty? Where's the connection? I did a criminal case up here when I got convicted on the Chickaloonies up here for these welfare Indians over here that sold me out. I never did get one piece, one document from any of the two cops. They say, claim they're a peace officer. Well, where is it? Denied. Objection. Sustained. Okay, you're a law enforcement officer. So what's that? Denied. Same thing all the way through. Where's your police power? Denied. Objection. Sustained. They have no office. They cannot establish the legal duty. This is tremendously important in everything that we're accomplishing. We're dealing with the case in Dillingham right now on a void judgment over in Dillingham on property taxes. By the way, property taxes, I've got an issue in. They're all tied into these service areas because of you have utilities. When I challenged that, I found out that I had benefited property. I went outside and asked the trees. I said, are you benefited property? Couldn't get an answer. How can a property be benefited? And they've hidden these property taxes through in Alaska. They incorporate the boroughs, and the boroughs have service areas, and the service areas have utilities, and when you hook up to the utilities, you're stuck in their world. Well, I want to see contracts. They usually have memorandums of understanding. They have cooperative agreements. Or they'll have some regulation. Somewhere it's hidden. And that's what's going on, just like in the child custody. The judge, the court systems have a contract for the judge to obey all rules and regulations of these agencies that are not laws of any of the several states. And his performance is critiqued by a mere flunky in one of these agencies for money. And if he doesn't perform, they withhold money. Now tell me that that judge isn't bought and paid for. And they all have contracts. Now I would like to know, and I haven't got to the bottom of it yet, in the Internal Revenue fraud, the mafia, those guys, where are those cooperative agreements with the judges? There's one sitting there someplace, and I'm going to get to the bottom of that. But I can conclusively prove that court has no venue for the people, the citizens of the several states. Absolutely none. It has nothing to do with the Constitution of the United States, because you cannot combine the courts of the several states for the federal side with a territorial court. It's prohibited. As the Constitution prohibits it, because it says it's a law and equity arising under. You cannot deal with administrative issues. They're prohibited. The Supreme Court of the United States has said so, the real one. Because the Article I courts are courts of Congress, just if they want to have it today, we got it, tomorrow it's gone. The Article III courts deal with constitutionally secured issues, not administrative issues. And that's why I want to make this book available. I found out how to make it look nicer when I did the scanning and that, so, and it's word searchable. It'll be password protected so that we got these patriots for profit out there that like to steal somebody else's work that spends all this time, and I want to try to get this book out there with the documentation and knowledge and wisdom here. I'll be posting it this next week here and making it available for those that want to really find out what's going on. I mean, really find out. Read it. It's a public record. That makes it conclusive and legal evidence. There's no arguing about it no more. It's not a court opinion. Unless, to see the other ones, the other way is these holdings of the Supreme Court of the United States. I've got holdings on the IRS now. That's got them in the corner, so we're going to see where that goes. But the bottom line is, we've got to get to the root of Cobranto. We've got to quit going back to the pirates and asking the pirate to quit stealing my ships. Because they're pirates. They're all in on it. We need to replace these people and get our constitutional republic back. Anyway, getting back to this legal duty, that is really a core issue on everything that's going on. And if they can't establish the legal duty, which they can't, without exposing what they're doing. So anyway, I hear the music, so we'll be back here, and then we'll finish up in a few minutes for the last segment today.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase. Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Well, Ralph Kermit Winterroad II, back with the Ralph Winterroad Show, Truth Seeker of the Far North, and we had child custody on the first hour, and been talking about the importance of so little understood about office with the powers and duties, whether created either by the Congress, legislature, or by the Constitution. And none of these folks out here running around pounding on us today have an office. child custody folks don't have one. The police don't have one. Our judges don't have one because they don't have the requisite requirements to enter the public office. They're all flunkies. They're all employees. They all belong to the administrative state. And the Fed set it up in 1948 in the courts. That's when they finally, quote, enacted into positive law the fascist totalitarian democracy that we have today. Did it right in front of us. And like I say, I got one of these books up here. Actually, I have one that was given to me by Maxine, so I can have it too. But I got one of these books. There's 34 of them in the whole world. Very few of them left. And why this book is so important, because it gives a history on the revisor notes of what these treasonous people were doing back then. Judges, our Supreme Court justices were in the middle of this. Westlaw was in the middle of it. All sorts of people, all the senators and representatives, most of them were in the middle of it. They overthrew our constitutional republic. Right after the Civil or the World War II, what's so astounding, in 1946, they did the Bretton Woods on the money. The president, by Reorganization Act, got rid of all the officers and offices of the United States of the land office and created the Bureau of Land Management, 1946. And Congress, not to be left out, did a complete legislative reorganization act themselves in 1946. How can Congress reorganize the legislature? Congress, they had no power to do that. They just created tons and tons and tons of committees, and I'm going to be posting that on my email list explaining that one. And in 1952, the president, by another reorganization act, killed all of the, quote, Internal Revenue Service. Offices and officers. It's all gone. It's just, the president did it. And then what's so astounding today, you can go on the web page of the Attorney General of the United States, and it says right on there where they created offices with powers and duties in 1952, and then they turn around and fill them. This is from the head highest law officer in the United States. Attorney General of the United States. Gonzalez is the yahoo that's up there now. These people believe this nonsense. I can't believe it. They put it out on their own internet homepage for all to see, because nobody understands. Only Congress or the Constitution can create an office with powers and duties. And they're always delegating this stuff. They can't delegate nothing. An office is strictly for you. It is not delegatable. It's what you may or may not do in that office. Now, you can have other people, if the office says, assist you, but the powers and duties are in that office, and you then enter that office. And this is what you may or you may not do. Of course, this is one of the biggest hoo-haws that we've got going on. It's all over the internet with all these different issues going on, the Browns. And, you know, I support what they're doing, that they're fighting the IRS. But unfortunately, they don't have a clue what's going on. They don't understand there is a, quote, law. It's a code section. It's 6012. I've got a Department of Justice stating it's 6012. There is a duty for a citizen of the United States to file a tax return. And I hear the music in the background. So stay tuned for next Sunday, and we'll have more. I've got an important guest I'm trying to get on, and we'll see if I'm successful. But if you want to hear the real truth, donate to Republic Broadcasting and join my email list for the truth. And this is Ralph Kermit Winterow II, signing off. Until next Sunday, stay well.
A message for